On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, subtitled How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we're going to pay tribute to your aunt.
We are. This is a bit of a departure for me. We're going to talk about something personal rather than something political.
Your aunt died in recent days at the age of 81, and she is, whether she would see herself as this or not, a feminist icon.
Yes. So my aunt was Mary Mae McGee, who obviously in 1973 challenged the Supreme Court over the right to marital privacy or contraception, essentially, and won that right for women and couples in Ireland.
It goes back to De Valera.
Well, it does. So I've written a little bit in the journal today about the history of it, try to put it in historical context. My cousins, her children have already done lovely tributes, so I'll just put it on the historical thing and put her in context a little bit. So in the 1930s, Ireland was under De Valera's, the new Free State. It wasn't quite the Republic. And in 1935, the Irish government of the time under De Valera put in an explicit ban on artificial contraceptives. And they did this in response to the Vatican's, is it encyclical?
An encyclical,
there
yeah.
you go. I'm glad. I wasn't sure how to say that. I was writing it down. I had no idea how to say it. In 1930, which basically had said, yeah, contraception is bad. That was Pope Pius.
Now, prior to this, there were condoms available.
There were, yes. Because remember, for many, many years, Ireland was under British rule and the condoms were readily available. So this was quite a reversal. And there was no liberalisation in the 1940s and 50s. It actually was more in the Constitution of 1937, Ireland was very strongly put under a Catholic primacy. And again, like John McQuaid and people like that were helping, you know, give De Valera advice on how to write this constitution. So it was very much cemented into it. Now, that started to change in the late 1960s, early 1970s, because people were seeing what was happening in America with the sexual revolution. And there was a lot of people quite unhappy about this, some very high-profile examples.
Yeah, and then you had the contraceptive train and you had the likes of Nell McCafferty and those going to Belfast and to publicly bring back contraceptives and, you know, kind of taunt the authorities.
Well, we want to be arrested. It's a fundamental hypocrisy of Irish law that you could go just across the border on the same landmass and come back with these items.
Now, your Aunt May was not one of those.
And that's a big misconception. So a lot of people over the years, when they find out that May is my aunt, would come up to me and say, oh, I mean, what they'd say about the great thing she did, but also, and she was involved in like the condom treatment. I have to point out that she was a world away from that. So like people like Nell McCaffrey did very important work. They were mainly, you know, journalists, lawyers, playwrights. They were well-educated. They were, you know, usually from an affluent background. May, by contrast, was born into my grandfather and grandmother's family that were extremely poor. My grandfather was a grave digger, he was a laborer. He didn't get steady employment until the end of his life. And he was pressing his children, my father and my uncles, into digging graves when they were 5-6 years old to help him because that's what was needed. May was born in, they were in a 2-bedroom shack. By the time her case came around, she was 27 years old. She was living in a mobile home in Loch Shinney, just on the Skerries townlands. And her husband, Shay, who was a wonderful man as well, was a fisherman working incredibly long and hard hours. So she came from a very different world than the condom train world.
Now, her particular personal difficulty was that she'd had some really problematic pregnancies.
Oh, I mean, I think definitely a bit of an understatement. To put them in context, she suffered things like preeclampsia, which is serious anyway. She'd had strokes in her previous pregnancy. And then in her last one, before the case came out, she was in a coma for 4 days and not expected to make it out of it, right? So this is, she'd had 4 kids at the time that her case came around. And what really changed that is obviously, you know, that was a major concern. But her local doctor was a wonderful local doctor called James Jim Loughran. And he just by chance happened to be a member of the Irish Family Planning Association. He'd been a founding member of it. And he saw May in his office and was deeply, deeply concerned that if she became pregnant again, she would not survive it. And indeed, that was a real risk factor. This was not his bias, this was what medical opinion would have said. He said a 30 to 40% chance she would die with a pregnancy, whether carried to term or not. So he remember, contraception is still illegal. He recommended and prescribed spermicidal jelly and a diaphragm. And what happened was when these were coming back from the UK, because they had to be imported from the UK, they were intercepted by Irish customs. And May and Shea were challenged with, you know, with potentially with prosecution. And that was the impetus that really led to the 73 court case.
Now, yeah. She had a hearing challenge as well. So she goes to court and she has to depend on being able to lip read.
Absolutely. I remember,
to understand the proceedings.
Her, like most of my aunts and uncles, had not benefited from free education. They'd had to work. So they already, now she was incredibly bright, but she didn't have, you know, the formal, she was in front of the eye of the media and the national society, but she also was profoundly, profoundly deaf. I didn't think there was much provision for that at the time. So she was in front of the newspapers. She was being denounced from pulpits. In fact, in Skerries, the local priest, and she was a quietly devout Catholic. She wasn't a firebrand or an ideologue. She was a woman that was caught up in the grim reality of what can happen if women are denied their reproductive rights.
And there's a great quote from Shay, her husband, who says, I'd rather, what did he say?
He said, I'd rather see her using contraception than be throwing flowers on her grave. And he said that when he was challenged by the state's barrister, to like, oh, how do you feel about your wife using contraception? And I think that Shay was also an incredibly talented, articulate man, a very hard worker. And I think that that for me was the standout line. Now, May was fantastic on the stand too, but the difficulties they must have faced. And I think bravery is sometimes doing, not doing what's easy, but doing what is the right thing to do, even when you're getting a huge amount of flack for it.
Now, listening to one of her sons talking about it, not realizing, you know, the kind of notoriety and, if you like, celebrity, depending on which side of the argument you came from, rested on his mother's shoulders.
Actually, that was Darren, my cousin. He was saying that last week. And more than that, I mean, when I found about May's case, it was sometimes from occasionally hear local gossip that you couldn't quite place and it would come back up. And this is, for me, I have difficult to square this image of May with the woman that looked after me and gave me pizzas and let me watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when I was 5 or 6. But that's the reality of these cases. You know?
And it sat lightly on her for the rest of her life. I mean, she didn't carry that celebrity with her and see it as a burden.
Oh, absolutely not. But she had to struggle a lot with it as well. Because remember, she was a quietly devout Catholic that suddenly was being denounced for doing what she needed to survive. My grandmother was very conflicted over it. But she came to peace with it, and she became incredibly, you know, reflective on it and kind of philosophical about it, which I think is really important.
She carved her place in history.
She absolutely did. Absolutely.
David, thank you very much for sharing a little bit about your Aunt May and the wonderful woman that she was. May she rest in peace.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.